Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. And when I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
And I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
I'm going to tell you this. I think we really need some new intro music.
Gosh. I feel like we need a pull, though, because I feel like it kind of is tender.
Don't want to hold. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, it definitely dun, sounds like 2010, like Christian, or maybe 20, I don't know,
you the know 2000s it's early not Christian quite this, music. But you know, like when in high school cheer, it was like you do the mixes of all the songs.
Okay, yeah.
Were you a cheerleader?
No, everyone thinks I was. I was a tennis player.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I knew that.
I know. Everyone's like, you're so short. I'm like, shut up. You're so like, doesn't mean that I could dance and have rhythm.
We're both short girls.
You were a cheerleader?
Yeah, I was
were
a cheerleader.
You a flyer?
Yeah.
Oh, woof. Okay.
It was so much fun. I love cheer.
No.
It's amazing. So anyways, we would do these dances and it's all like remixes. All my cheer girls know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like the show on Netflix.
Yeah, 100%.
Cheer. I think it's literally called Cheer.
And it's like, you know, like.
Yep. Totally know what you're talking about.
So much fun. Let's do a poll.
We can see if people are like, it's endearing. Or scratch it. It's so bad.
It's like I fast forward through y'all's intro music every time.
I remember we had an intern that was a couple years ago. I think it was Dana. And she goes, yeah, hot take. Get rid of that intro music.
Yes, I love it. We love Dana. I love people who just tell us like it is.
Come on.
We found new intro music at one point and then we didn't execute on that. But yeah, you know, that's all right. Here we go. There's some grace.
Laura, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are helping y'all out with all the mistakes that I made when I was single so you don't have to make them.
Hey, also, if you're not following Laura on Instagram, go give her a big follow. Her reels are slaying the game. Like hot advice.
Thanks, girl. Listen, I feel the same about you. Follow Nico.
Yeah, follow so along the journeys. Come on, y'all. We're just trying to give you resources so you don't make the same mistakes we do.
Totally. Listen, I think there is something to trust God.
Yep.
You know, trust God. God's got you. Be content. But I think there's something missing when we just give like a 2D picture of that in the church and we just tell each other like, God's got you. Just be yourself. And it's like, what do you mean be myself? Like, I'm so frustrated by that. And what do you mean just be content? Like, there's another reel that I posted recently that is like, here's what they're missing when they say just be content. Because there is so much biblical scripture that says like, yeah, it is right and good for you to long for this. And it's okay if you do. And it's okay if you don't, you know?
Totally.
Anyway, so it's like both and. And today we are talking about some of those like really practical things that come from a heart level and move into a really practical thing of like, no, straight up, here were some mistakes that I was making in singles that were keeping me from getting married.
Dude, you come know? On. Maybe I need this. Shoot. No, we know that I'm single because God is in this. We've all, maybe I'll learn. Okay, can we just jump into the amazing advice that you gave us in your reel.
LOL. Yeah, I'm so curious to hear your thoughts on these because you haven't read these yet, right?
No, I haven't. I feel like my Instagram, I don't have time to scroll as much as, I mean, I know.
I see you, girl. That's okay. That's good.
You know, we're just posting about Noble and getting off. But I do have it pulled up. And the very first one you said was giving my heart away to gods who weren't asking for it.
Yeah, not gods. Guys. There's so much one God this who morning. Has my heart and he is asking for it. Yeah. No, I think we are so desperate to be loved and to be chosen that we walk around with our hearts so much love to give. And we say, please, will you accept it? Please, will you take it? Please. Well, you're kind of showing me a tiny bit of interest, like you must want it. And you need to realize that your heart is worth like pursuing, that you are worth pursuing. Like you are straight up a daughter of the king. Do you think that a king, would have this daughter who is nobility, who is prized? You talk about nobility a lot, in noble. Like, do you think that God would have this daughter that he's just like, yeah, anyone have her? You know what I mean? Or like, yeah, girl, go get him. And it's like, no, like who's it going to take to come after a girl so precious, a girl so valuable? It's going to take a man fighting for you, a man wanting you, a man pursuing you. And we just have like lost that. We're so desperate to be loved and be chosen that we're just like, I'll take anyone. And we're giving our energy and to guys who are just texting us and it's like they're never getting out of your text, just so you know.
Yeah.
You know, and we hold on to so much hope and it's like, no, he's not interested in you.
Yeah.
You won't feel that way, you know.
Do you feel like this applies to the girl that's creating something out of nothing?
Yeah, 100%. This line is really helpful for me. It's nothing until it's something.
I say that honestly every day.
Yeah,
every day. Good. Girls are like, anything going on in your life? And I'm like, even if there was a simple DM on Instagram, it's nothing till it's something. Like, unless I'm going on a date, I don't care who's texting me, who's calling me, who's DMing me. It's nothing until it's something.
Yeah. It's fun to connect with girls about stuff like that, about possibilities. And then we let it go way too far.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so real. Especially me being single still.
Yeah.
I actually did a TikTok on this recently that I think that's where the enemy has the biggest chokehold on Christian women.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Is just that we are sitting in circles creating stories out of nothing. And I get it. It comes from a place of hope. But in reality, what would it look like to talk about way more important things than overanalyzing something that's nothing?
I had to rewrite one of my friendships once. Like there's a girl and I, her name's Laura as well. And we were really good friends. And we realized all we talk about is boys. The next guy that we have a crush on, you know, who's, and that we analyze every conversation, which guys don't do that. It's
no,
so funny.
No, they don't.
But anyway, so we're doing that. And then we realized, hey, we should probably, you know, to honor God and protect our own hearts, like change our conversation. And I kid you not, that first time that we hung out after that, it was so awkward. We were like, what do we talk about? And we were getting our nails done. And then we walked out and just addressed it. We were like, listen, this was kind of awkward. Like, we didn't know what to talk about. But you know what? I think it's a step in the right direction of honoring God, and we can rebuild our friendship on something of more substance.
Gosh, that's so good. And I don't know. Maybe you can speak to this probably better. I really do believe that if a guy wants to ask you out, he will.
He will.
He will. Guys are not thinking the way that we're thinking. Yeah. He likes you. He'll pursue you. Okay, so number two, sticking around for guys who were emotionally unavailable. Do you feel like you did that a lot?
Yeah. Yeah. I think some of it was the reality is that I wasn't ready to get married.
Yeah.
And so I kept choosing these guys who also weren't ready to get married.
Were you dating them boyfriend, girlfriend, or were you just kind of hanging out with them?
Kind of hanging out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think like, y'all know. And I think sometimes guys tell us and we ignore it. They'll be like, I don't want a relationship. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Or, somebody DM'd the other day saying like, you know, this long distance relationship, but he's not really emotionally like available. And I'm like, yeah, don't date him just now.
Gosh, moving that's on. So true. I think that happens a lot with DMs.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I mean, I think I've heard something recently and it said, if he can't get out of your DMs, he can't lead you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's and
true.
It's like, I just feel like so often we are sticking around, or I like how you said sticking around, but I also want to kind of change the language. It's almost putting hope in
those
who are emotionally unavailable that you will be the one girl, the chosen one that he will become all of a sudden available to. And I don't know why when you're talking, Psalm 25:1 came to mind, and it says that no one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. And it's just that reminder of when you put your hope in a boy, if you put your hope in him changing his mind towards you, you will be oftentimes put to shame.
Yeah.
Because there's no guarantee. But when you put your hope in the Lord, you will never be put to shame. And if the Lord wants that person in your life, it will come back around. But I think that we more often try to cling to someone who's not available and hope that all of a sudden he will become available because we're something so special. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And I think too, like, we have a tendency to look over all the flags because they've shown us like a glimpse of a potential of maybe something good, you know, that could turn into something. You know, I remember I was dating this guy. I was living in Australia and I was dating this DJ, and it was this total like movie moment where we walked in, we locked eyes. It was, we had mutual friends, and like the rest is history, you know?
Totally.
There were so many like movie moments in our relationship. And then I remember one day I'm on the way, like literally getting on the public transport to go over to his apartment. And I'm like, this is not it. Like I should, I felt the nudge, you know, of the Holy Spirit, which is another one later. And I still went, I still moved forward. And that heartbreak from that relationship, like I knew, like my brother-in-law said this to me, like, I just don't see how an Australian DJ could be good for you. And it's like, yeah, it's probably hard to honor God when you're like literally living in the party scene. Like your entire life is you party till 5 a.m. Like that's what you do.
Yeah.
How's that going to be good for my walk with the Lord? I don't know, but I'm doing it anyways. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And he was like kind of emotionally available, kind of loved God. Anyways, he ended up cheating on me and getting another girl pregnant.
Ooh,
and
girl, come on.
It sent me into this spiral of my senior year of college where I literally became the makeout queen of my entire block of houses. Not third and girly. I'm trying to remember. At Baylor, there was a block. Where did we live? Anyways, maybe it was third and girly. If you're a Baylor person, you know. But there's like a block of houses. And I'm like, oh, shoot. I realize I've made out with a guy from every single one of these houses on this block. And it's because I felt so hopeless after that relationship. Yeah. And I just spiraled. And I went on this, like, what's the point? You know, I've been, you know, saving myself for marriage. I've been, you know, doing everything the right way. And, like, what's the point? And so, anyways. But that could have been avoided had I just, like, listened to the Holy Spirit and, like, not stuck around for a guy who wasn't available.
Totally. Gosh, that's so good. Okay, so you kind of touched on this a second ago, but you say something that held you back in, or I guess mistakes in singleness, was overanalyzing every move and conversation, which I feel like the question though for you is, how do you not do that?
Yeah, I think a friend said this to me once, like when you walk away from a conversation, don't think about everything you said wrong. Remember that people aren't thinking about all the things that you said and did wrong. Like they're thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
And so it can stop with both of you. Like both of you just be like, this really helped me. I would start praying, like, God, if there was anything that wasn't helpful or that was like not from you, would you just remove it? Because you have the power to do that. And then the rest of it, I'm just going to trust to you. Instead of thinking about it, I would just literally pray for what just happened. Like, remove anything from their mind that you didn't want to stick there. And then, like, let me just move forward. I'm releasing it to you.
Totally. And it kind of goes back to, you're not powerful enough to mess up God's plan.
Yeah.
Like, your conversation, whether you're in a bad mood or you were too much or too loud or too quiet or fill in the blank, I think we can kind of spiral as women of, oh my gosh, like, if I had just been more outgoing, maybe he would call me, and we overanalyze what we could have done differently. Or exactly what you said, like, just surrender.
Yeah.
Trust the Lord.
Yeah.
He'll bring him back around. Like, the Lord will tap his mind to call you, whether you were the most outgoing girl in the room or the most introverted.
100%. Like, I think that, and I also think that it's like, we overanalyze, like, every move they made.
Totally.
If we're interested, it's like, oh my gosh, he looked to the left when he said that. You know what I mean?
He could have something in his eye. You never know.
He's definitely into me. Yeah. We like, oh my gosh, he touched my arm, you know? Yeah. And it's like, okay, maybe, you know, some of that is fun. So I'm not trying to squash your fun. And
totally.
Like, you have intuition. So like, yes, but I think we elevate that and we make it something that it isn't. And there was another guy that I dated when I was at the porch, and he was really flirty. Like, that's just his personality. He was kind of like that. He wasn't intentionally trying to flirt with people, but so many girls read into that. So many girls liked him because they thought he liked them. And the only reason I knew he liked me is because he treated me different than all those girls. He was really careful with me. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I will not touch your arm. I will not, you know, I will not flirt with you in the slightest because I want to be careful and protect you, you know? But, you know, all these girls are reading into something that is like, oh no, I feel comfortable because I like you 0%.
Gosh.
Anyways, moving on. trying to mold myself into what I thought they wanted.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I can speak so strongly to that because, man, I can even remember one relationship specifically. I changed everything about myself so that he would like me.
Yeah.
And he did. That's a crazy thing. It worked.
Yeah.
But I was miserable.
Yeah.
And so it comes down to even the conversation we were having right before we started this episode of just that reminder of if someone wants to date me now, I hope that they want Nicoletta.
Yeah.
That they want to pursue the things that I'm chasing after. Like my whole goal for the rest of my life is making God's kingdom bigger.
Yeah.
And you can either hop on the train or get out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm not changing.
Yeah.
You got two options. I'm not changing what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart in order for you to like me, because I'd rather not be liked and do what God's called me to do than be liked and not be doing what God has called me to do. You know what I'm saying?
That's so good.
And so I think what it comes down to is be confident in that the Lord has made you unique.
Yeah.
And what he's made is good. Like, you're not a mistake.
Yeah.
You're introverted. I get a lot of DMs about, I'm introverted.
Yeah.
What do I do? Like, that's your superpower.
You know what's so funny is, like, all the introverted girls think that they're single because they're introverted, and all the extroverted girls think they're single because they're extroverted.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, all us loud girls are like, oh my gosh, I'm too loud. Like, I'm too much.
I'm too much.
Yeah.
Totally.
And then all the other girls are like, if I was just like them, then guys would like me. It's like, no, bro, guys aren't liking us either.
Yes. And it comes down to, it's an identity issue.
Yeah.
It really is an identity issue because you don't believe that what God made was good.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. You don't believe that what God, how he made you uniquely, is how he did that intentionally and was part of his divine purpose for your life. And so what would it look like to own your introvertness? What would it look like to own your personality? You're not too much. Like, I had a conversation with a girl in Noble this week. Her boss actually told her she was too much.
Oh my gosh.
And I go, you don't know what insecurities he's bringing to the table.
Yeah.
You don't know
anything.
And so a lot of times when somebody comments on us being blank or blank, they also have a full set of insecurities that they're bringing into the conversation that you can go, I get that. I respect that. But I'm not going to let you put that on me because what my God made was very good. Genesis.
Yeah, that's good. There's something that I was thinking about the other day that we do a lot. And I think it's really dangerous and it's very, very subtle. And it's, I think it stems from a lack of self-worth. Changing to be like somebody is from a lack of like knowing your God-given worth. It's not even self-worth. It's God-given worth.
Yeah.
And then I think also we can either like neglect everything that that kind of like makes up our own life, like the things that we used to do. We like let go of our friends, we like stop doing some of the things we like to do, and just basically try to immerse ourselves in their life.
Yes.
And honestly, that's not attractive. Like, that's not cool. And it shows that like you didn't take pride in your own life, you know, and like the things that God has given you and already like set in motion for you. So I think the opposite extreme is like the pride of expecting them to fit completely in your life, which I also see this happen where you're like, no, I have my own things doing, like you can just come along with me. Like somebody commented on one of my reels saying like, yeah, I just, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. And then the girl, she can tag along if she wants. I'm like, There are zero girls reading this like, oh, he's so romantic, I want to be with him. You know what I mean? But girls do this too. Like, we can just expect the guy to drop everything in his life and completely fit into ours. And that's prideful. And it's not setting you up for a good marriage. Like, a good marriage is like both of you coming together. Like, here's me, here's you. And now we're creating this new life together, still blending in these other things that we love and have that are ours.
Yeah. I mean, that's my big hope for if the Lord has marriage for me is like, I feel like the Lord has clearly given me this direction and this lane to run in, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to bring someone. All right, hop on my train. I'm going this way. Come along for the ride. But it's going to go, okay, who's going to be the best partner? Also, how can I help you in what the Lord has called you to do?
Yes.
Like, it is a team and it is a partnership. And I'm sure you can speak more to that being married, but I just feel like so often we either think we have to give up everything for that person or they need to give up everything for us.
Yes.
But what would it look like to actually coming together actually betters both of your ministry and strengthens you as a unit for the case of the gospel?
Yeah. So it really is either like in out of arrogance or out of like low self-worth. So anyways, some of these can speak for themselves too. So we can just like plow through them. You want to?
Yeah, go for it. What's the next one?
Coming on too strong and not giving them space to pursue.
Okay. I'm going to be honest, I don't struggle with that. So I feel like if I think you're cute, I actually will remove myself. I feel like you are though a go-getter. Like, you're cute, I'm going to talk to you.
Totally. I'm pretty confident. Yep. I always have been. Yep. You know what I mean? And I think I've done both. I've like done the whole run away from you because I don't want you to see that I like you.
Yeah.
And I like look back to so many relationships. Like, thank God they didn't work out. But like friendships where I'm like, oh, that guy was clearly like hitting on me. And I literally ran away. It was like this really hot guy. Way. Like, yeah, at our church who like everyone liked him. And he was like, hey, we should study, you know, we should study together. Like when I was in institute, the seminary program at our church, and like being really flirty with me. And I like looked at him and smiled. I'm like, yeah. I ran away.
Like,
I was terrified, but I'm like, it's because I actually liked him. I didn't want him to see that I like him. So I've done that. And I've been the girl who just is like, feels so, I'm feeling myself. You know what I mean? Like, of course you like me. Of course. And I, you know, either if that's texting or if that's whatever, like, I think just letting our guard down way too early. I get really comfortable with people really quickly.
Yeah.
And I think I've learned to be a little bit more reserved when it comes to my heart, because it's not just you now. Like, you are actively learning to consider another person.
Yeah.
And consider them, like how they are going to feel when you are just like, bah, here's everything, blah, 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 blah. You know, just consider how they are going to feel of like, oh, shoot, this girl, when she's so into me, even if you're not actually, like, even if you're having to convince yourself, like, he's okay, you know, if they're receiving that message from you of like, oh my gosh, she's just like so into me, it can feel like it removes the decision from them to choose you.
Hmm.
It can feel like, oh, she's already decided, she's way ahead of me, like, I can't, you know what I mean? It's smothering a little bit. So,
gosh, I think I need to learn a little bit of, it's not even confidence for me, because I'm a very confident person. I just get so shy if I think someone's cute. Like, I have to meet someone in a friend setting so that they can know me as a friend, or they have to come up. Like, if you approach me, I'll talk to you all day, but like, you will never see me. Someone was like, have you ever just approached someone? I'm like, no, like never in a million years when I approach someone that I think is cute. Like, I'm terrified. I don't know what it is. I just get shy girl.
Do. It's so funny because like people, I don't think people know that about you.
No, it's one of the things that, you know, I don't even think even my closest friends would assume that, but I just get so shy.
You're like shy and sweet.
Only in the very beginning stages of meeting someone that I think I could be interested in.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. I'm like, what is happening?
Okay, and what you about? Know what? God's got it. Like, y'all just need to know. Exactly. God's got it.
And that's where I'm like, Lord, I literally have actually prayed about that. I'm like, Lord, what happens? I like get so shy and like sweet and timid. It's the weirdest thing. And he's like, that doesn't mess up my plan.
Exactly. So what y'all need to know is like, if God like has a guy for you, he's either going to find that endearing or he's going to be friends with you. You know what I mean? Like, God is not so weak that he'd be like, oh, if only she would just stop being shy, like, then I could get her married. Y'all just need to know all these things are like tips to be aware of, because they usually come from something else happening in your heart. They come from fear. They come from like wounds from, you know, past relationships with the opposite sex, which, side note, y'all need to get my workbook, Reset Your Dating Life.
It's so good, y'all.
It works through basically all these weird things that you do, and it takes you backwards to like, here's probably why. Let's work through both. Like, let's give you handholds to change some of these things. But I'm not going to do that without addressing the actual things going on from your past or in your heart that like maybe you didn't even realize were still there. So,
yeah. And I know mine is, I learned this in Regeneration, which is a recovery ministry here at Watermark in Dallas. But my number one, which I had no idea going into Regen, was fear of rejection. Like,
it's mine too.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know it, but it was like, wow, I fear that if you fully know me, you will reject me. And I don't know, but also I just think that God, in like sweet moments with the Lord intimately in the last year of singleness and being 31 and still single, the Lord has whispered such kind, gentle whispers into my heart of just like, hey, you're not going to miss it.
Yeah.
Like, if I have marriage for you, Nicoletta, you're not going to miss it. And just gone on different dates with different people and the Lord removing every single one. And I feel like he's whispered like, hey, I remove good because I want to give you better.
Mm.
And just kind little things like that. And I can sit here and once again, kind of going down, we can go down the route of what's wrong with me. Like, I think so many girls spiral into that of trying to make sense of your singleness. So it's like, oh, if I just lost weight, I would be married. If I just was funnier, fill in the blank. And for me, it's really the Lord's kindness to whisper going, no, I'm in control.
Yeah.
You keep trusting, keep leaning into the ministry things that I'm doing and let me take it off your plate. I remember that too. It was a couple months ago. I was on a prayer walk and I just heard the Lord gently whisper, can I take dating just off your plate?
Mm, that's
where
good.
I will do it. You get to keep running in the direction of Caller Holy and Noble, and I will do it.
That's good.
Which is such a freeing thing, but that's not because I'm special and God speaks to me because I'm on a prayer walk and I'm doing all these crazy disciplines. Like, he's speaking the same thing to you, but we don't think that God is a God that can do kind things for us so that now we need to enter in it and figure it out and control it ourselves.
100%. Yes. I feel like everything on this list could be its own episode because it really goes back to something happening in your heart and it's worth figuring out.
Yeah, but it also just comes down to, do you trust Jesus?
Yeah.
And do you trust that he loves you?
Yeah, and I think too, some of it is like, no, you have some wounds, you know? Like, totally. We are raised like where it's more common to grow up with father wounds than not. Yeah. You know, we are in a culture where you heard that thing from in middle school and you can't shake it and you've never let it go. And those girls were mean to you or that guy trampled on your heart, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it like sticks with us in really formative years and in ways that like affects us now today. So anyways. Yeah.
Okay. What's your next favorite?
Friend zoning. I'm going to say this quickly. Like, I don't mean like if you actually don't like him, but if you do like him, sometimes we like can punch guys on the arm or like whatever it is and just like act like I'm a bro. Bump. Like you can just bro. Like if you're acting like you're his bro, he's not going to see you as not his bro. So let me just say that.
Come on.
Moving forward. Okay. Overlooking red flags. That's
I feel like we've done it. It is what it is. Yeah. Go listen to Red Flags episode about a year ago. That will answer that in depth and more.
Yeah. Not inviting godly people to have a full picture and speak in.
How have you ever done that? Can you think of a relationship when you didn't invite people to speak in and what the result of that was?
I only shared parts. Like when I was in community, like the early days, I only shared parts of my relationships with these guys. And so the parts that I didn't share was like, oh yeah, we stayed the night together and then we went to the porch.
Yeah. So you just said we went to the porch.
I just like didn't share that stuff. And I think some of that, like I had to learn like that's worth sharing. But like you need to give people a full picture and let them speak in and not be afraid of the outcome of like them saying like, hey, I don't think that's right, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, give people a full picture, let them speak in. Impurity in your relationships or even in, I mean, we struggle with purity guys we're not in relationships with, you know? Like just give people a full picture and don't just say like, yeah, we messed up. Like, no, he touched me here and here's what led to that, you know?
And make sure he's doing it with his bros too.
Exactly.
I think I've been in relationships where I was confessing but he wasn't. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have a tag team from both sides.
Yeah.
And so then I would go and confess but then he wouldn't and it would just not work out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what about self-protecting? Is that the one that we should
do? Yeah we kind of hit on this early. Self-protecting by trying not to let any guy see interest.
Me.
That's, yeah.
Literally me to a T. And I just but I also see the Lord's kindness in my dating life where I was telling someone this the other day that every guy I've ever dated, even with the fear of rejection, with trying to protect it, I've seen the Lord eventually, if the guy wants to ask me out, he will. So what would you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think with you, Nico, like some of it is your personality. I think learning to be comfortable with like the little, it's sweet. That's cute about you. You know what I mean? You get shy. I don't think that's something to necessarily change. Like, I think that's really endearing. And
I don't think it will change. So whoever exactly. wants to date me, just know that for the first few encounters, I'll be shy and here we are.
So it's more like the girl like me who it's like the guy's asking me to study with him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's happening. Like this guy that I have a crush on, you know, a huge crush on is wanting to hang out with me and see if this could go anywhere maybe, and I'm running away. Like,
okay, that's fair. I'm not running, I'm just timid.
Or like self-protecting. Like, you, I think there are subtle ways that we can self-protect and just like you're telling the guy that you like talking about his friend.
Yeah,
why are you talking about his friend, bro? Like, he's getting the message that you don't like him, you know, because that's totally what you would do to a guy you don't like. So I think just like self-protecting, trust that God's got you, and some of it's a fear of being known, you know, all that. Anyways.
Okay, my favorite one I think in this whole list is number 11, where you said thinking ungodly guys would somehow be godly husbands.
Yeah, I did that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all do. We just, it's hope, and it makes sense. Uh-huh. Like, I think a lot of it can come from there's no godly men left, so I'm gonna date this guy that, because he's like a good one.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna trust that he's going to be the best in the entire world.
I think for me, I truly do see the best in people. Like,
totally.
You can be the most awful person and I will see redemptive qualities in you. And that's a quality that I don't want to ever lose because I think it's godly. But where it goes wrong in dating is like No, I need to be like scripture calls us to be shrewd, to be wise as serpents. Like it literally says, be innocent as doves and wise as serpents. Like there's so much, the entire book of Proverbs is about discernment, yeah, about wisdom. And so I think for me, it was the maturity of learning to separate out like, okay, I can see the best in people and really believe the best in this guy and pray for him. That's not going to be in the context of me also dating him, because he, yeah, is not where, you know, a guy who's going to lead me is, needs to be, you know?
That's so good. And I think I've said this to multiple girls in this, is you wouldn't want someone to date you and marry you with the hope that one day you're going to be better and change.
Ooh, that's good.
You know what I mean? Like, I would be so offended if someone entered into dating me and was like, oh my gosh, she's great, but I really hope that she is going to be a better wife one day, because she's not great now, but like one day she will be. I would be like, either date me now for who I am now or don't. You know what I mean? In the same way, you don't want to date someone and hope that they change, because there's no guarantee they will. And so if you are not confident in him being a dad now, you're not confident in him being a leader now, there's absolutely zero guarantee that he will be one day. Date someone now who you would be confident in being married to in 20 years if he never changed from who the person he is today.
That's good. And this is not to say like it's a trajectory. Like there's a difference in like, hey, he can grow in spiritual maturity, as in like, okay, he still makes fart jokes sometimes. Okay. He is connected in community. He is growing. He is in God's word daily. Like look at his trajectory. Don't expect him to have the maturity of a 50-year-old at 25.
100%.
However, like, you can't look at a guy who's getting drunk, hooking up, who's, you know, cussing, and whose words just don't look like he loves Jesus, and expect him to become this guy who's preaching on stage on Sundays. You know, like it doesn't equate. So you can look at his trajectory. Like if he continues doing the things that he's doing now, where will he end up in 20 years? Okay. If he keeps reading his Bible, if he keeps, surrounding himself with godly men and confessing sin and repenting. Sure, he has some quirks to work out, but if he keeps doing those things, he's going to grow and mature.
Totally. And I think it also, there's a Tim Keller quote that I love, and it basically is saying, does it excite you to see where this person will be one day? Like, I knew you could be this one day, and I wanted to see you get there when you walk into the gates of eternity. And it's that beautiful picture of, are you excited to walk alongside this person as they fall more in love with Jesus? Are you excited to walk alongside this person as they look different, but more like the Lord? And I think that is attractive. That is encouraging. Like if a guy entered into my life and was like, I see you now, I see the sin you have now, you're by no means perfect, but man, I want to walk alongside you for the rest of your life until we walk into the gates together and say, I knew you could always get here. That fires me up. But I don't want someone to enter in dating me and being like, I'm going to help her change that because I want her to fit into this mold.
Yeah, there's a clear difference, and it's worth thinking about. Like, what is the difference here of like, you know, paying attention and like helping draw out the best in someone versus like, no, I'm missionary dating you. I'm trying to be your savior. I'm trying to point you to Jesus. And y'all need to know you're actually probably leading him further away from Jesus. You know, the better testimony and the better thing that shows him who Jesus is, if when you stand your ground and say, you know what, I know we've done this in the past, but I'm actually not going to hook up anymore. And I've really enjoyed my time with you, but I'm not going to date you because I know what I'm worth. And I know who God says I am. And I know what I want in a relationship. And I'm looking for things that line up with the Bible. So I do wish the best for you, but I actually can't continue this relationship. And you know what? Will you please forgive me for sending a bad picture of like what Christianity is and who I am? Will you please forgive me? Because that was not okay. And so that is such a better testimony than like, oh yeah, I'm just going to keep dating him because he's so close. You know, he's so close. No.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of speak to that in your next point. You say crossing physical boundaries because I've done it before, so it's fine.
Yeah, I think that trips a lot of people up. And I think it comes from this really toxic purity culture that we don't have time to get into. But like, I think we elevate the whole like lines in sexual sin versus like, no, my goal is to just follow Jesus. The reason I'm not sinning sexually is because I love God. You know, we're just like, okay, well, I'm just not going to go past this line. I'm not going to go past heavy making out and humping, like dry humping, because that's my line. No, you don't need to be dry. Like, God is with you. Like, is that holy? You know?
Yeah.
Is that how the scriptures say to conduct yourself as those who are holy. Are you conducting yourself as those who are holy? And some people say oral sex or whatever this is, like, I can do this and it's fine because I've already done that once, so it's not a big deal. Or if you've had sex, you think like, oh, it's fine to have sex with more guys because I've already done it. I've already crossed that line. No, daughter, like every time you sin, you are taking yourself further away from who God wants you to be, from the freedom and the fullness of life that God has for you. And you are forgetting mercy and grace. Like, you are forgetting that you are new today, that every single morning when you wake up, God's mercy is on you. And he says, no, I'm not holding you to the sins that you did yesterday. You are new. Start over today. You don't have to like stoop down to the person that you were yesterday, you know? And so don't keep doing that just because you've done it before.
Yeah, and I want to speak to that girl specifically and say, one, I relate. Like, I remember there was things that I did in my past with physical boundaries because I thought that I was damaged goods. And it was almost like, well, I've made so many mistakes already, so what's the big deal if I keep going?
Yeah.
And I want to speak to that girl that God is a God of redemption.
Yeah.
And he is a God that does not shame you for what you've done, but wants to make you new from what you've done. And complete, he says, I have separated your sin as far from the east as from the west. He views you as pure despite your past. And so I want to just rebuke that lie right here, right now. That is a lie from the enemy that tells you that because you've already done that, you should just continue in that sin. Like, no, you are a new creation right here, right now. You can turn away from that and just want to speak over, I'm so sorry that has happened to you. That is painful. That is hard. I have experienced that guilt and shame that comes from, well, I was going to save myself for marriage and I gave it up to the boyfriend who told me he was going to marry me, and now might as well just do whatever I want. And in God's kindness, I've seen his complete redemption. Like, I won't even kiss a boy on a first date because I'm just like, God, I'm new.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't even remember. It's like, God's sweet and so kind. I don't even remember that sin. Like, I feel like he has literally erased that from my past. And it's so kind of the Lord. And you are not too far gone. Yeah. You're just not.
Yeah. That's so good. So, so good. Ugh, I think some girls are being ministered to right now. So let's do this one. Making up a future in my head with guys I wasn't dating.
Oh my gosh. You've probably been married like 20 times in your head by now.
You've already named kids. It's called emotional lust. It's like, that sounds so weird. But like, if you think about it, you're objectifying a person. Like, you're looking at him not as somebody who is an image bearer, valuable to the earth. Like, you are looking at him and saying, you are an object to satisfy my wants and needs. It's the same thing that happens when guys look at a girl's body and they see her as somebody to satisfy his needs, you know, his sexual desires. The same thing happens when we do that to guys to satisfy our emotional desires. He could be this husband. He could provide me with this future. Here's how many kids. Here's what our life would look like. No, straight up, you are objectifying him. You are making him somebody who is no longer being seen as a brother in Christ, who has value, who has dignity, who has things that you can learn from and benefit from. You guys together can lock arms and chase the kingdom. Now he has become somebody who is objectified, somebody who can meet your emotional desires to get married, to have companionship, to, yeah. So when you make up a future in your head with somebody, that is what you're doing. You need to see it as emotional lust, and you need to stop lusting. You need to take your thoughts captive and say, you know what, God, this person is worth more than just getting what I want in life. This person is not, like, I don't need to walk into a room and immediately check his ring finger to see if he's married. I'm going to stop it here. When I start going down the road of like, here's when we're going to get married, like, this makes so much sense. Stop. You know, no, here's what I know now. This is my brother in Christ. He has a purpose. He has a dignity, and he is more than just like somebody who's here to get what I want in life.
Yeah, I got nothing out of that. That was good. Come on, mic drop, sister.
Okay. Let's see. Seeing my life as a holding pattern instead of a season worth living to the fullest. It's hard. It's so hard. The waiting is hard, y'all. Like, basically all of my ministry is because I struggled so hard at waiting.
Yeah.
You know, like, people have messaged me, and this is really sweet, and saying thank you for not forgetting, because I do think we as married people like can forget how hard it is. And I have intentionally, you know, I think because God put it on my heart, most of my ministry is still to single people. I think God is like told me to remember, you know, and I remember how hard it is. So it is hard. And for me, here's what this looked like. I had an apartment that I didn't want to make cute. I was so sick of waiting. I was so sick of getting new roommates. I was so sick of starting over. I just had to go through a new community group. And I'm like, I'm so sick of single girls groups. Like, no, please don't make me. And I felt this conviction from reading the Bible. I've said this here on the podcast before, but Jeremiah 29:7 says to seek the welfare of the city that you're in. And it wasn't this like, okay, the Israelites have gotten everything that they wanted. They're in the land flowing with milk and honey. And God's saying, seek that welfare. They were in captivity from their ancestors' sin, from somebody else's sin, you know, people who've gone before them. They're in captivity and they're being mocked for their faith. They're being treated poorly. They're being made to do things like Daniel in the lion's den. Like, all those stories happened during this season of the Bible's history. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like, they're being forced to worship gods and, you know, people are standing up. So that's the cultural setting. And God is like, seek the welfare of that city.
Yeah.
So how that translates for, and that how that translated for me was like, okay, I'm in this city that is nowhere near that bad, you know, but I'm not seeking the welfare of my apartment, of my relationships, of my current status of things because I want to be somewhere else. So yeah. No, make it cute. Settle in. Settling in where you are is not like a death sentence saying you're never going to get married.
Gosh, that's so good. Okay. Another one, not realizing I am worth pursuing.
I'm just going to let that one just marinate on that. You are worth pursuing. You are worth pursuing. You are worth pursuing.
Okay, what about loving the thrill of the chase and hurting guys along the way?
Yeah, I was an idiot. I had my fair share, you know, of like leading guys on. And I played with guys' hearts and I would tease them. And this is all different seasons in my life. And so that was a season of my life. And it made me feel powerful. It made me feel strong. And I think there are girls out there who do that. And yeah. I think you're reckless. There's a line in The Greatest Showman. Like, it's so good. I wrote it down. I can't. It's like, she's like, bad things happen when you're careless with other people's hearts, you know?
Amen. Come you know? On.
And I think like that stuck with me. And I did that. I was careless with other people's hearts. And again, like, they are worth more the same way that you are. And yeah, I don't need to be teasing people. I don't need to be.
And it also, like, you're not just devaluing them. You're also devaluing yourself.
True.
Like, the fact that you think that makes you better to play with someone's heart, that just shows insecurity, not strength.
Yeah. 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 And it's like a power, like the core root of that is like, you want power. You like the way it feels when guys cut their eyes at you. You know what I mean? And like when guys get like excitement or aroused, like to see you, like it feels powerful. Like, no, you don't need that power.
Okay.
Saying yes to first dates as a thank you for asking. If you know you're not going to date him again, like, don't say yes to the first date. Like, I know this is something in the church they say, like, just say yes. But like, I would like thank guys for having the courage, you know what I mean? But know that I wouldn't go on a second date with them. Like, I know in my heart, like, I'm not going on a second date with you. I did this in college. I would say yes as like, wow, I'm so proud of you, like, for being courageous. And then I was so comfortable because I liked them 0%. And then by the second date, they liked me even more than the first date because I was so myself. And it was like, oh, okay. There's a pattern here. I'm saying yes to them thinking that this is a kind thing to do. And it's actually not. It's not loving at all. It's they're getting more invested in me. And now it's the letdown is like harder. So I just don't need to do that.
Yeah. But I think there's also on the flip side of that, to give a little bit of pushback, invite the Lord in and ask him what he thinks.
Because yes,
there are times where guys will approach you that you are like, absolutely not.
Yes.
But the Lord could change your heart and change your eyes towards him. So I think that obviously, if someone asks on a date and immediately you're like, oh, no, but take a moment. Like, you don't know what the Lord's going to do in time one-on-one with Jesus. Like, he could change your eyes, change your heart. I think I'm going to give a little bit of pushback on that because I think what I don't want you to hear is you get asked on a date that you're not interested in, it's a forever no. Like, I always say there's wisdom in taking a step back.
100%. Here's what I don't mean. I don't mean like if you're just not attracted to him. I mean like if he's not godly. you know?
Okay. Yeah, I see.
I mean, like, if his character is not in a place where I'm like, yeah, I'm not dating you, I'm not going to keep dating you. And this, I did this in college mostly. So yes, that is a huge, huge clarifying difference of like, I tell girls all the time, like, and I've seen it happen a lot. There are so many people who are married today. Like something happened on the third date, you know, where they were going in to break up with the guy or the girl and God just changed their heart, you know? And they, yeah. So they're definitely that. Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. That was a good clarification.
Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, this is the single-handed most one that people, I was surprised by this, that people like were like, oh my gosh, this is me, putting more time and energy into my appearance than my heart.
I mean, gosh, don't even get me started. That's why I created Noble.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally is, like, because most of my life, I believed that if I was just thinner, I would be loved. Therefore, I spent all my time trying to lose weight, trying to look better, all these things, when in reality, what I'm sitting here at 31 is, oh my gosh, no one should ever come into my life and say she's hot or she's cute, I want to date her. You should want to date me because you see Jesus in me. Mm-hmm. And looks are an added benefit.
Yeah.
Because, oh my gosh, like, my heart breaks when I think back to why guys chose me in the past. Like, truly, this has actually been one of my biggest prayers in my time with the Lord is like, Lord, what would it look like for somebody to enter into my life, seeing the way that I'm leading Noble or call her holy, and go, that's the type of woman I want to ask on a date. And maybe it's when I woke up and rolled out of bed and don't have makeup on doing those two things. Like, oh my gosh, I hope that my heart is what's attractive. But what I see, and I actually did a poll on this on Instagram 2 days ago of what is the biggest belief that you believe in why you're still single? And all of it was physical appearance.
I think that's why girls struggle with body image so much.
100%.
Because they think like it's going to affect them being chosen. And the sad reality is like there is some piece of culture that's true. You know what I mean? There's an element of like there is reality where the world is broken. And because of that, you know, you feel like there's this competition. Like you have to be the thinnest or because there's so many options for guys. And you just need to know that God still loves you, that God is in control, that God can override culture in a second, in a heartbeat, you know? And let me tell you this, I am married to the hottest guy alive, and I have the most gorgeous best friend who Colby would never be interested in. You know why? They're skinny and beautiful, and he's not into the skinny girls. So y'all need to know that like my husband likes the curves and like he saw me taking care of myself. He knew that I wasn't lazy, that I wasn't complacent, but I was not like stick thin. And then some people probably rolling their eyes like, well, it's your body's still different than mine. But anyways, yeah, just okay. Let me tell you this one more little story.
Come on.
There was a guy who was like a really hot guy in the singles world when I was in the singles world. And he, you know, asked a girl on a date. She was gorgeous. Like, she was so phenomenally beautiful. After the first date, he came back and he was like, I can't do it. I cannot do it because she was so gorgeous, but there was no substance. And it's like, yes, she spent a lot of time making her abs look fire, and that got her the first date. But he came back and he was like, I absolutely can't do it. Like, I cannot, like, there's no substance. There's no character. And so I think you'll think that, like, you're really helping yourself by killing yourself in the gym and, like, really, really over-focusing on that. But, like, if you're not also focusing on your heart, if you're not also waking up daily and saying, God, my life is yours. What do you want? I'm going to avail myself to you. Show me who you are in your word. Lead me in the way that's true. Show me what's broken. What do I need to confess? Like, who are you? I'm desperate for you. If you're not doing that and, like, studying God's word, spending deep time with his people, like you're not actually helping yourself. But anyway, so there's that.
Yeah. And then 1 Timothy 4:8, to back that up with scripture, says physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. And it's just that it's literally blunt as heck going, hey, making yourself look good is of some value. We want to be healthy, but man, training for godliness, are you quicker to wake up and spend time with Jesus or go to the gym? Do you skip your quiet time before because you want to hit a workout? These are the questions you need to start asking yourself. And I said this to Noble literally yesterday. Physical training in your body is a degrading thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're not always going up to the right when it comes to your body. Like, it's going to, as you age.
Oh, like, I see what you mean. Like, okay, you know it's like a, it's a diminishing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the right word.
I was like, degrading. Oh, degrading, wow.
Yeah.
My body, it's diminishing. Like, diminishing. Yeah, your physical
compared to
appearances.
Time
yeah.
with the Lord is always going to benefit you. It's
yeah,
always up and to the right. And I just, we got to talk through that and noble of just going, your walk with the Lord is always going to get better. It's always going to make you more attractive. And here's the thing. The people that are most attractive are the people that are radiant. And it says yeah, in the Psalms, it says, true. Those who look upon the face of the Lord, their faces are radiant and they will not be covered in shame.
Yes.
And like the people that I adore, their faces are glowing because they know what the Lord says about them, rather than the girls whose eyes are hollow into their skin because all they care about is their makeup, their bodies. And like, I say that because I was that.
Yeah.
But man, I would rather be 10 pounds heavier and know Jesus better than 10 pounds thinner and not know the Lord at all.
That's really good. I'm actually working on another resource. It's like super chill. And I'm going to make it like super inexpensive too. Like, so like a couple dollars.
Come on.
But it's going to be like basically a planner, just like a little printable
yeah.
planner to help you work like just in the morning to set yourself right. You still have your to-do list and that kind of thing, but you have like, three truths that you're going to be meditating on, you
Love
know,
that.
And you just kind of write them out and then you have like a verse of the day. Like, it's just going to help. And then did I move my body today? So it's just a couple things to help you like really set your heart and your mind in the right place.
Yeah. That's so good.
Stay tuned. I'll post that on Instagram. But I think we can plow through the next two.
Come on.
It's been a fun episode.
Yeah. I love it.
All my mistakes. Welcome to my dirty past.
Girl, we all make the same mistakes though. I'm not married and I make these mistakes.
Okay. Continue to date guys without the commitment. That is as it said. Like, if he's not your boyfriend, like if y'all are still talking and it's been months, like no,
yeah,
you know. Or like if somebody asks you like, who is he to you, and you can't really say like, we're dating, there's something there. Just
yeah, clarity's kind of
yeah, there's something there. Okay, the next one is looking for godly men in ungodly places. There's another one that really got people.
Really? Why?
Yeah, because I think they think that they're going to find their godly husband in the bar, you know?
Yeah.
They're just like, you're looking for the right men in the wrong places. And I know you're probably looking at me like, well, then where do I find them? Okay, go to church, find a softball league, like do something, you know what I mean? Where that it does not involve sin. Like, do not be looking for guys in ungodly places. You know, if you're at a concert and the guy, you might meet a guy, but like, I don't know. I think it's self-explanatory. Just don't be looking for godly men in ungodly places.
And God can do crazy stories and crazy miracles, but I think you need to ask yourself, are you pursuing where mainly they hang out, or are you just hoping that you find the random unicorn at the bar? Which,
yeah.
like, we know stories that happen in the bars, but ladies, you don't need a bar to find a husband.
Yeah.
Like, the bars, nothing good happens at a bar.
I think, too, it's just like, I don't want a man who's like, spends every Friday and Saturday at the bars.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But
totally.
For some reason, I think that I can do that.
Yeah.
And like, I think that I might find him there. But then we're going to meet and then we're not going to go to the bars anymore. We're going to do other really fun stuff. It's just like, yeah. Anyway, so there's that. I mean, you got anything else to add, Nico?
Gosh, I just want to say to my single girls from a single girl is that God's got you.
Yes.
Like, I think
does.
We can give you a million tips and tricks on these type of things, lessons that you've learned. But at the end of the day, do you believe God is kind?
Yeah.
Do you believe that he's got you? Do you believe that if he has a marriage for you, you're not powerful enough to mess that up? You don't need to strive. You don't need to manipulate. You don't need to do. You get to be. Be the woman that he has called you to be. Be the friend he has called you to be. Do the things you love to do. If you love to travel, travel. If you like to go to concerts, go to concerts. And surrender. I've heard this said this way, a surrendered life is a transformed life. And I think so often when we're discontent in our singleness, it's because we're trying to grasp for control. But man, ladies, God has a bird's eye view to your life. He knows, Psalm 139, when you're going to meet your husband, if he has a husband for you, and it's not dependent on the things that you do or don't do. Be faithful. Literally be faithful. Wake up in the morning and ask the Lord, what do you want me to know for today? And what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to love today? Who do you want me to call? Who do you want me to text? Where do you want me to go? Lead me. It says Psalm 23, he will guide me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. AKA, he will guide you in the right path. Do you trust that? Do you trust that he will lead you? And I think that so much of our lives, me and Laura, can say we didn't trust God, so we did these things.
Yeah.
And what it comes down to is spend time in God's word. Let him teach you his character, and he'll take care of the rest.
Ugh. We love y'all. so much. And if any of these things you're like, oh shoot, that's me, I am telling you not to sell something to you, but yep, because I really, really, really believe in this. I created this with you in mind.
It's so good.
Go y'all. Get Reset Your Dating Life. It's on my Instagram, or you can go to stan.store, stan.store/Laura K. Eldridge. Everyone spells my last name wrong, but just go to my Instagram, stan.store/Laura K. Eldridge, and we'll link it in the show notes for you as well. It is going to help you tremendously. And at the end of it, you get to make a plan and change. You even evaluate an interaction that you have with a guy. Like, what made you insecure? What can you do differently next time? You
love
know?
It.
So, y'all, please go get that workbook. It is going to help you. We love you. We're thankful for you. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.